Congrats. Proud of you. Proud of you. All right, so this is kind of like a little intermission right now. So how many of you want more snacks? Does anybody need more snacks? Ushers, are you ready with snacks? Because I need a cheese doodle. I need a cheese doodle just to get me through. It's hot in here. Cheese doodles cool you down sometimes. How many of you had a cosmic brownie for the first time ever today? How many of you, 3 seconds after you ate it, realized how how important milk is? Yeah, this is a whole different world of brownie. They're thick. They are. All right, keep your hand up. The ushers have the snacks for you. I just want to pray real quick, and then we're going to jump in to the next very important portion of our family Sunday. Father God, thank you so much for what you've done so far this morning. Thank you for what you're continuing to do. Lord, bless this food that's being passed out. May you please do something to it to help it nourish our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, we're coming off of the Pittsburgh missions trip. It was a great, great trip. We had 80 people throughout the whole entire church going throughout the city of Pittsburgh, ministering to people, sharing the love of Jesus. And I just want to share one highlight from the White Oak team. If you were a part of that trip, thank you so much for everything that you did and everything that you're going to continue to do. But one of the questions that was asked and asked of me was from Kimberly Fairley. She said, Pastor, I'm going to ask somebody the miracle question today. And I said, what in the world is the miracle question? Does anybody know what the miracle question is? I was like, I didn't know either. I was like, do you just walk up to somebody and say, do you want a miracle? She said, no, you ask them if we could do something that you can't do for yourself today that would change your world, what would it be? And I was like, that's a great question. I love that question. I love it. And then we didn't talk about it again. But I look over my shoulder as we're serving throughout the streets of McKeesport, and Kim is painting somebody's house. She's literally painting somebody's house. We didn't have paint. We didn't have paintbrushes. We didn't have rollers. We had none of this, but we were passing out food, and I look at Kim, and she's painting somebody's house. And then very soon thereafter, we're cutting their grass, and we're weed whacking the whole block, and then we're cutting the neighbor's grass, and it was all because of one question. If we could do something for you today that you can't do for yourself and it would change your world, what would it be? And there was a can of paint on the porch. And she said, what's this paint for? And Lacey said, well, I've been looking to do a project and I don't know how I'm going to get it done. And it was an answered prayer to the verses that we prayed before the trip started. Out of 1 Corinthians 9, I'm going to read you out of the message. It says, even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. The religious, the non-religious, the meticulous moralists, the loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world. And I tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every servant, every type of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. All the people that attended the Pittsburgh missions trip, they're no longer just talking about it. They're now in on it. The trip was 2 days and a night. Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. That trip ignited them for the remaining 363 days of the year to be on mission. It wasn't just about 2 days to be on mission. It's about the remaining days of the year to be on mission and to live on purpose and to serve those around us in everything that we do. Listen, your neighbor may need some painting done. Go paint. Your neighbor may need their grass cut way more than you need yours cut. Go cut it. Your neighbor's garbage may be stinkier than yours. Take it out. Serve those around you in order to one day have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. And I am so excited that we get the opportunity to send more people out on the missions field. And we're going to pray for them. We're going to send them out today in hopes that we welcome them back with amazing testimonies. So the Buffalo team, if you make your way up, it's being led by Kim and Kevin Broom and their family. And if you're going on that trip, you can make your way forward as well. You can keep clapping for them until they all make their way up. There's a good amount of them. There we go. Pray for him special because he has a hoodie on right now. That's impressive. They're leaving next Sunday morning at 6 a.m. And the reason they're doing that is so that they can, in hopes, make it to Buffalo before their Sunday morning worship time. And listen, Buffalo is an amazing place. It's led by Pastor Eric Johns and Michelle Johns. And every single time we send a team there, they come back more encouraged, more empowered, more equipped to not only serve in their community, but to serve those who are around them. They see things differently. Their perspective has changed. And I'm praying that this team experiences everything that every other team has experienced, but even more. Even more so that they experience more signs, more wonders, more healings, all of the things that God has planned for them. First, I want to pray for the leaders, and then we'll pray for the team. So God, I pray for Kevin and Kim, Lord, that you would continue to give them even more dreams and visions on what you plan to do through them and their family on this trip, Lord. God, I pray that right now that you would remove any stress, any fear, any anxiety in regards to the trip, Lord. God, I pray that you would right now reserve the right vehicle that they're going to be renting as leaders of this trip, Lord. God, that Enterprise or Hertz or whatever rental company we all find tomorrow, Lord, that it would be the perfect vehicle for the perfect time at a God price, not a good one. And Lord, I pray that everything that's happening back in PA would be taken care of, Lord. And God, that they wouldn't have to worry about a thing. And Lord, that they would just be able to be truly focused on you in every single way during this trip. Use them in a mighty way. Lord, this marriage is united because of missions. They met because of missions. And because of this covenant of marriage, others are going to benefit, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for this entire team and the rest of the people that aren't even up here right now, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts, prepare their minds for the things you're going to do both in and through them on this trip. God, we pray protection over the entire team. God, we pray protection on the travel there, the travel home, and all the travel in between, Lord. And God, we thank you that you are going to give them a fresh perspective of your kingdom. You're going to give them a new desire to expect more in every area of their life. God, that they're going to expect more in worship. They're going to expect more in their time in your word, Lord. They're going to expect more for those around them, Lord, because of who you are, and they know that they are yours. And Lord, we know that you will turn everything to good for those who love you, because that is a promise you've spoken. So Lord, everything that happens on this trip, may it be to glorify you and to honor you in Jesus' glorious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give them a round of applause as they make their way back. Be praying for them. And during this week, I already told Kevin I want 27 text messages a day, and I will be counting. And I told him, don't like shortchange me and just give me like one word text messages just so we could reach 27. And don't send all 27 at once. There's like guidelines to this, okay? There's steps. But you may be wondering again, why are we doing this today? Why did we make this happen today in this way? Why are we all gathered today? Why did we play games? Why did we do everything the way that we did today? And I want you to know that there's one reason and one reason only. Because we want our church to be alive and be passed on. A prayer that has been prayed ever since I've been a part of the church and way beyond since I've been a part of the church, since the church's existence, is that we wouldn't lose one child to the world, that we would be a generational church. And I want to let you know that we're getting to see that prayer answered time and time and time again, and it's something we're not going to let go of. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. We served out throughout McKeesport and White Oak yesterday. We served throughout the city with our other campuses yesterday. But I'm just going to talk about McKeesport right now. If you walk through the streets of McKeesport, and even in areas of White Oak and Versailles, there are boarded up churches everywhere. Almost every other block in McKeesport, there is an abandoned church. Now, I know that years and years and years ago, those churches were overflowing with people. Grandmas and grandpaps and moms and dads and aunts and uncles would walk their families to church on Sundays. They would fill those churches week in and week out. And Monday through Saturday, I know they weren't just going on Sundays. They were going all the time. But now those churches are empty. They're boarded up. They're condemned. They're getting torn down one by one by one by one. Why? Because a generation died. The grandmas and the grandpaps are dying. The aunts and the uncles aren't carrying it on. The moms and the dads, they're grandmas and grandpaps now, and they're not passing it on. The churches are dying. Why are we doing this today? Because I love every single baby running around. I love every single kid that is experiencing this instead of being upstairs in the air conditioning today. I love it. I love it. There's air conditioning back there too. Now's a great time to sign up to serve in our children's ministry. You can go back there and look at the room. Check it out. Third floor is great too. Go look it out. Look at it. Say, I want to see what the kids' rooms look like today. But listen, if we don't pass it on, it will die. The churches will be boarded up and nothing will be able to be passed on. We want to get a generation excited for the things of God. You saw the video from the Encounter Conference. You heard the testimonies. Talk to one of the students. Ask what they saw. Ask what they experienced. Ask what they got to walk through during that week. 75% of the kids that have left church, we can talk about them. But I want to talk about the 25% that stayed. Why did they stay? They stayed because they ate dinner 5 to 7 nights a week as a family. They served with their family in ministry. They had one spiritual experience in their home during the week. They were entrusted with responsibility in ministry at an early age. They had at least one faith-based adult in their life other than their parents. Listen, this is important. We're going to come back to these stats. But if we want to see a generation impacted and things passed on to them, we don't have much time. 83% of people that made a commitment to their faith, they did it before they turned 18. 83%, that's a big number. I'm not great at math, but I know 83% is a majority. I may have a McKeesport education, but I'm smart. 83% is a big number. We have to let a generation know that they're important, that this is their church just as much as it is Larry Paladin Jr.'s church, who's been here for since the third week of its existence, investing. Let's go back to the statistics of the 25% who stayed. Eating dinner. Sounds simple. I know a lot of people eat. Pretty sure everyone here does. Get focused on setting some time aside to sit at the table and eat together. Turn off the electronics. Turn off the stuff. I get it. I have a son. I know. I got to fight to get the Nintendo Switch out of his hands. I got to hide it. And he says, I'll find it, Daddy. I was like, no, you won't. It's really good. I'm good at hiding this thing. And I make sure the batteries are dead before I hide it sometimes. You got to get smart. Serve with your family in ministry. It was so exciting to see the families that were on the Pittsburgh mission trip. It's exciting to see the Brooms going as a family. It's exciting to see Dana Martin going as a family on the missions trip to Buffalo. It's exciting to see families serving together. Why? Things are being passed on. Having one spiritual experience a week within their home. Just one. Just one. Not one every hour. Just one. One. We're talking about one. Out of 7 days, having one spiritual experience in your home a week. You can do that. Being entrusted with responsibility at a young age within ministry. Listen, what does that look like? You give the keys to them and say, here, drive the car. It's okay if you wreck it. We have insurance. It's okay to fail. You're not going to mess it up more than anybody else has ever messed it up. I never forget when Pastor Rick knew on the front end that I was going to fail, but he was excited for me to come back and tell him I failed. Because as a dad, you just want to lead people through things. You want to help people through things. I'll never forget the time he gave me the keys to the building. And he was so excited to do it. I was like, I need keys. And he's like, okay. He went in his briefcase and gave me his. I was like, why'd you give me yours? You need keys. He's like, no, I don't. Take them. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, now when somebody calls me and says they need to get into the building at 2 a.m. because something's wrong, I can honestly say I don't have keys anymore. I was like, you tricked me. He's like, no, it's your turn to drive. I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I want these. But he gave me responsibility. He encouraged me. He empowered me. He equipped me. That's what we're trying to do with the next generation. That's why we're doing today. Had at least one faith-focused adult in their lives other than their parents. Listen, our Bridge City student leaders, I'm so proud of them. I'm so thankful for them. You guys are amazing. You're doing a phenomenal job. And you guys are making a huge impact in these students' lives. Our Bridge City kids leaders, you're doing a phenomenal job. Kim, you're leading an amazing team. Listen, they got me the big sweat towel. Man, this is the biggest. Man, it's like a beach towel. Thanks, Chuck. My God, I know Chuck. And Kim, whew, I feel like T.D. Jakes up here. They got me the big towel. There's no air. You think it's hot out there. Come up here. I feel like a rotisserie chicken. There's zero air movement up here. None. Those people over there don't even know the air conditioning is not working because it's working over there. And it's coming out of that hallway like a rushing wind of cool Holy Spirit. Had at least one faith-focused adult in their lives other than their parents. You may be thinking, this doesn't speak to me today. I don't have children. Yes, you do. There's a bunch of them running around. Donna Kalala has never had kids of her own, but she has more spiritual kids than I can count. She's had more of an impact of the children and kids of this church than I can even begin to tell you. Rachel and I started in Bridge City Kids together serving. And today we're getting to see Larry Paladin IV say he's going to college. He was like just born when we started coming to church. Spiritual investments. It's so cool to see. It's so cool to see your son, my son, 6 years old, thinking that his uncles sing all the songs that we sing at church. Like they're the ones that wrote them. They're the ones that perform them on the radio. And then when he hears somebody else perform it, he says, Uncle Nate and Uncle Jordy do it way better. Why did they take their song? I'm like, I don't know, buddy. You need to talk to them about it. I don't know. Ask them if they're getting the royalty checks. I think they have the wrong address. But that's the encouragement of the church. You know, I thought it was cool to be able to experience joy on all these different levels until I got to see a kid that Rachel and I poured our life into worshiping God on their own accord. And that's when I got to see this verse come to life to me. 3 John 1, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. To see when your kids or your spiritual kids or kids you've encouraged or kids you've empowered or entrusted something to, when they start walking in the truth and worshiping God and praising Him on their own accord, game changer. Game changer. There's no greater joy than that. To see Lorelai give a testimony on that video, I remember meeting Lorelai for the first time when her grandparents brought her to church. I could still see Lorelai running into church. And now she's sharing testimonies, encouraging others, empowering others, equipping others. No greater joy. I remember when all Zeke would talk about is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now he's talking about fireflies in front of everybody. No greater joy than to see that as a pastor. He's going to have to deal with that for the rest of his life. You didn't get that on video, did you? Yes, we did. And you signed a release, Zeke. And your mom did, and your dad did. Listen. When we all understand that children are a gift from the Lord and they are a reward from Him, it's a game changer. A gift. I don't know about you, but I love receiving gifts. It's one of my love languages. There's 5 love languages. Have you guys heard these before? Acts of service. Gifts, physical touch, words of affirmation, and thank you. I always forget that one. That's Rachel's. It's an inside joke. And she falls for it every time we do pre-marriage counseling. I'm like, Rachel, what's that 5th one? She's like, it's quality time. It's perfect. It's a little thing we do. She loves it. But children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from Him. We all get to share in this reward. We have 2 new babies this week, soon to be 3, in the church. That's a reward for all of us. Nick and Jessica Hodacek had their baby. Adam and Bella Rzepniak are soon going to have their baby. And I'm so excited to be able to share in those rewards. I'm so excited that we all get to share in an understanding of once we become children of God, sons and daughters of God, the rewards are insurmountable. We can't even stack them all together. We couldn't even put on all the medals. And you may be thinking, I'm really jealous of the Bridge City students because I didn't have a family to grow up with, to eat dinner with. I didn't have a person that was older than me to encourage me or empower me or equip me. I didn't have somebody that would entrust something to me or trust me with ministry. I didn't have somebody that would walk beside me and show me how to walk through life. I didn't have those things. It's not about how you started, it's about how you finish. And I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know how old you are. I don't know any of those things. But I know that you're in here right now, and I know how you can finish. I know how I grew up. I didn't have at least one faith-focused adult in my life encouraging me. I ate dinner every night, but I didn't sit around the table as a family. I definitely didn't serve in ministry together. I did not have one spiritual experience in my home during the week, unless my mother was calling out to Mary and Joseph as an Italian mom. Thank you, for somebody got it. But I know what you can have now. You could have the biggest family in the world. And you can call somebody different 5 to 7 nights a week and have dinner. There's a bunch of pizza shops in the surrounding areas, and they all have different pizza. It's all different. There's like 15 different pizzas at Rockaway that you need to try. Go with me, because I heard they're different if you're with me. That's what I'm told. But listen, if you're here today and you've never taken your rightful position as a son or a daughter, you've never been adopted into the family, allow today to be your day. If you've never believed in your heart or confessed with your mouth that He's Lord, allow today to be your day. If you've never repented of your past and received the forgiveness that the cross provides, allow today to be your day. If you've never turned from a life of sin, which is separation from you and God, allow for today to be your day. If you've never reached out to Him, your Father in heaven said, "I receive you. Will you have me?" Allow today to be your day. Take your rightful position as a son or daughter of the King, and allow for Him to lead your future so that one day you can lead others. If I'm speaking to you right now, I want you to do the bravest thing you've ever done and just reach your hand to heaven and say, "God, that's me. I don't have a moment where I've accepted you as my Lord or Savior. I don't have a moment where I've repented of my past and received your forgiveness and asked you to lead me into my future. I don't have that moment. But I want it." Anyone at all today? Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Amen. We rejoice with heaven. We rejoice with heaven. Lord, we thank you so much. Praise you. We bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, we thank you for the gift that it is to pass all that you've given us to the next generation. And God, we pray that you would give us the faith to trust in you all the days of our lives. And God, that we would recognize that this is all yours. God, we've just been entrusted for a short period of time to give it away. God, we thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you're